Cherry Developer Newscast, episode number 3 for February 1st, 2010. Before we get started, thanks to everyone who's listening to the Tev News Podcast. We're getting a lot of downloads, and a good developer center newscast seems to be something everybody likes. Quick reminder, the Philadelphia Emerging Tech Conference is 2 months away on April 8th and 9th, 2010, and you can still save money by registering before February 15th. We have speakers on topics as varied as Rails 3, Spring, Flex, Agile, mobile development, and Android and iPhone, and Web Framework Shootout. Register today at phillyemergingtech.com. Companies mentioned in this newscast include Chariot Solutions partners such as SpringSource, JBoss, and Sun. I'm Ken Rimple.
And I'm Brent Baxter.
And we're here to read you some news around what we think is interesting in development. You can follow along if you go to delicious.com/developernews/3. We'll post that on the show notes page as well. So I'm actually going to start off by tagging something that Brent wrote, just to embarrass him early on. Brent put a blog post out at brentbaxter.com called Defining and Testing Constraints on Grails Domain Classes.
Yeah, that's right. So this is pretty interesting stuff. Basically, it was inspired by an email that Jeff Brown sent out to the Grails user group where he was talking about validating Grails domains. But let's say you have a scenario such as a UI wizard or something where you don't want to actually validate all the properties in your domain. Object, so you can actually pass a list of strings into the validate method, and then it will only validate those properties. So it sort of inspired me to look into the validation a little bit more, and then what I found was is actually Grails provides some really slick mocking abilities in the unit tests. So you can actually set up your unit test, call a little method called mock for constraints tests, and give it the name of your domain class, and it gives it the validate method, so you can go ahead and, like I said, and write a little unit test that validate or that will test your validations right there. So, like I said, it was pretty nice. Once again, most things in Grails is pretty simple and straightforward. And when you actually read the code, and I do have some code snippets up there for you to look at, it sort of makes sense when you read through it. So, hopefully, folks will find that useful.
Great, thanks, Brent. And so the next one, actually, I'm going to pull out here is. From, I guess, the dust settling from the Virgo project, which is the Spring DM server contribution. And just to get people who haven't read anything about this up to date, SpringSource contributed Spring DM server to Eclipse, to the Eclipse Foundation. So that project's called Virgo. And under lap.blogspot.com, which is a blog by Glenn Normington.
Yes.
He has a post on the 27th about OSGI standards and adoption. So it's another view. It's a SpringSource developer, and he's responding to some of the concerns around whether OSGI is ready for the mainstream. So yeah, that's a good reading.
Yeah, Glenn's actually, he's one of the developers on the DM project. So mm-hmm. What he was trying to do was dissuade any misconceptions that SpringSource might actually be totally pulling out of OSGI and DM server. So like Ken said, it's following on to the whole sort of ripple effect that's happened in the community after that happened, after Virgo was created. So, like I said, Glenn puts his opinion out there for you to use as you want.
Great. All right. I'll take another one here.
All right.
So, Exploring Rails 3. This is really interesting. For those who don't know, Rails 3 is either about to be released or is released. And actually, I think it's about to be released. And it's a merger between the Rails framework and MERB, which was something that Ezra Sigmatovich and Yehuda Katz put together as a response to Rails a couple years back. So actually, O'Reilly Media is sponsoring a free online conference on February 18th, 2010. So if you go to O'Reilly.com, Rails Winter 10, or follow our link to it, it's free, and it's 12 to 2:15 Eastern, 9 to 11:15 a.m. Pacific, and it has Yehuda Katz speaking about sessions about getting up to date with Rails 3. Greg Pollack is speaking, kind of the difference migrating from 2 to 3, the highlighting, and there's a number of other speakers as well. So if you want to check that out, that should be interesting if you're a Rails developer.
Yeah, I like this idea of this online conference. It's sort of nice, in this day and age where folks are trying to mine their costs, it's a pretty slick way to do it. Now, hey, is the Engine Yard folks going to be at our ETE conference this year?
Yeah, we're actually having Yehuda Katz and Ezra are both going to be speaking
nice.
At ETE. Yep, speaking
cool.
of conferences, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Cool. Let's see. Well, one that I was just commenting about this one a moment ago. I guess I'll just take this one up. This Java. So I'm looking at a blog from
C for coding.
Yeah. So this is a funny. Every Java developer should appreciate this. It's called Java IDEs: the Blue Healer, the Dachshund, and the Labradoodle. And so I really recommend, like I said, if you're a Java developer and you've had the pleasure of using all sort of the mainstream IDEs, it's a nice little humorous piece about comparing. So these are actually three breeds of dog, I guess. The Blue Healer I hadn't heard of before, but the others I had. But he compares IntelliJ, Eclipse, and NetBeans to each one of these dogs and gives, like I said, a little humorous little comparison. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's well worth a chuckle from William Shields.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very good, very good.
Okay, let's see. There's a note here from Sebastian Arbogast. He's Grails Blaze DS4 integration plugin for Grails. And so he blogs on the 28th here discussing that plugin and kind of walks through what to do to set it up so you can work with Flex4, Blaze DS, and even working on Flash Builder, it looks like. So check that out if you're a Flex developer. It's an interesting little thing to look at.
Did you, so I know you've done a little bit with Grails and Flex in the past. Was this mm-hmm. one of the things you used in your...
I did not. Well, I tried using the Blaze DS plugin,
right?
And ran into some issues, and they were actually looking at that.
Right.
They're working on, you know, they got the 1.2 release out, and then the point release, which
right.
there's actually a note in here also. We might as well hit it, which is Grails 1.2.1 was released. It's
right.
a minor bug fix release, but the Blaze DS 4 plugin, or actually the Blaze DS plugin for Grails, was being worked on, and it looks like they're kind of working on that now.
Right.
So, you know, this is just kind of as of the current date, here's what you can do with it.
Right. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, just hitting that Grails 1.2.1 literally came out, I think I saw a tweet about it about a half an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I quickly looked at the release notes. As we expected, there's not any big new features in it, but there was a whole lot of bugs fixed. So I'm really impressed in, what was it, like the 2-3 week time period since 1.2 was released? Seems like they've really been hitting a lot of bugs, so
that's
good.
Great.
Yeah, it is great. It's good news.
Hey, here's some good news. According to CNET News, Google to phase out IE6 support. And I wish I had sound effects in here because I played Hallelujah. It's time to put it to rest.
Yeah. It makes me wonder. Like, I know there are a lot of large enterprises that still use IE6 as sort of their standard. It just makes me wonder, like, how much of an impact this might have for them. Because I think this is for their Google apps, right?
Yeah, actually, they link to a Google. It's googleenterprise.blogspot.com is the original web link.
Right.
So they actually were writing themselves about, you know, how the web's evolved over the last 10 years.
Right, right.
What is it on here? They basically say in here, and I'm going to quote the blog entry, "We're also beginning to phase out our support, starting with Google Docs and Google Sites.
Right.
As a result, you may find from March 1st, the key functionality within these products won't work properly in older browsers."
Right.
Meaning IE6.
Right,
so,
right.
Yep, it should be interesting. So just keep in mind, you know, that's the first big, well, it's probably not the first big, but it's a very big company starting to de-support it.
Yeah. I think there was another, we had another tag in here about a Google Apps, I think it was Google Scripts. Yeah, here it is.
Yep, go ahead.
Again, I guess this is the googleenterprise.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
And this is announcing that for folks that use Google Apps Standard Edition, which is, I guess we could call it their free version of their Google Apps, which I actually use. It's quite handy. They've released scripts that were previously only available to paying customers. And I guess these scripts are basically to help you with some, you know, simple administration type of stuff or setting up things in your calendar or, you know.
Well, there's a lot of good ones in here. It's like scripts to modify spreadsheets.
Sending email, looking up contacts, creating calendar appointments, modifying spreadsheets. So, yeah, some handy scripts that could simplify your life if you're out there on Google Apps and looking for a way to automate certain things. So,
I guess it's almost like the Apple script for Google App Engine.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. All right, interesting thing to look at. You know, if you use Google Apps for domains, you might not even know they exist. So there you go. We didn't. I didn't.
Yeah, it's pretty.
He knows nothing.
Well, yeah. It's pretty slick. If you have your own domain, you can basically set up Gmail for your own domain.
Right.
So you can brand. It's a way of branding Gmail, if you will. But it's more than just that. You actually get Google Docs
and calendar and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess my joke was around not knowing the scripting existed.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, I didn't. I'm like, really, scripts?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Interesting. Yeah. Here's a good one for you to read. If you're a really strong programmer and you feel like you want to own your development shop, read up three simple rules that will make you a superstar developer. The website's called yieldthoughtcoderoom.wordpress.com. And give it a read and tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
Won't give away any spoilers on this one. You should just go read it. It's pretty good. It's a little fun. Another humorous little piece that...
it's worthwhile.
Yeah. If you've been developing for a while, you should appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see what else we got here.
We can mention Joel Confino's post.
Yes, that's
another one of our Cherry developers blogged, "Why You Need NoSQL in Your Toolbox." No, that wasn't a typo. It wasn't bad grammar. NoSQL is a non-relational persistence type storage strategy. And so Joel Confino has been looking at this. And he has a blog post that he put up on the Chariot Solutions blog, which is chariotsolutions.blogspot.com. And he talks a bit about, you know, what NoSQL is. He gets into what the difference is between performance and scalability. And, you know, the fact that they're kind of scaling down means that they can speed up. You know, and so it's a good link. And he also links to, like, six other places where you can read up on the movement.
Yeah, this is good. I've been following sort of on the fringes of NoSQL, and I know it's been building some momentum, let's say, and he does a nice job of summarizing it here and actually calls out a lot of the big players right now in the NoSQL space. So it's a good read for anyone interested in that topic.
Agreed. Let's see. I can take this other one. Oracle and Sun Product Strategy Webcast Series. So the big Oracle Sun merger is now complete, or at least it's becoming officially approved. And, you know, the whole world's kind of holding their breath going, what happens to Java and what happens to all these products and so on. So Oracle came out with a page. It's actually oracle.com, events, product strategy. There's a link in our site. And it goes through for all of their different major technologies, you know, little 15-minute to 30-minute discussions, kind of a screencast about what they're looking at for the future. So if you have any questions at all and you want to see what the official line is from Oracle, definitely worth checking out.
Hey, now, I don't know if you heard this or not, but I heard a rumor that Java 1 is going to be, like, in September.
1.4, you mean?
No, the Java 1 conference.
Oh, Java 1. Okay.
Yeah, the Java 1 conference is going to be, I think they said September, and it's going to be co-located with the Oracle.
Oracles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I haven't seen anything official posted on that yet. But
I've heard that too, yeah.
Yeah, so it would be interesting to see how that works out.
Yep. So definitely, you know, the world is changing, as they say in Lord of the Rings in the beginning. The world is changing, and it involves Java. So.
Oh, boy.
And then our final one, HTML5 is great for mobile, developers say. This is from Read Write Web, which is a really interesting web developer blog, if you haven't checked it out. You know, they're discussing, because of the iPad, you know, I don't know if you've watched, if you were a fanboy like I am, Brent. I'm such a fanboy, it's pathetic.
Well, we'll forgive you.
So I was teaching a spring class last night.
Yes.
Last week. Yeah, last night, in my sleep. I was going, at AutoWire. Anyway, so I was teaching a spring class last week on Wednesday, which was killing me because I really wanted to see the live keynote because
right.
I am such a sad person. So I went online, checked it out later, and in the demo, he goes to the New York Times. You know, Steve Jobs opens up the thing. Says, "This is a wonderful device. Look, you can read news." And he goes to the New York Times, and there's a big giant like question mark block where this Flash video would be.
Right.
And then he goes to another site, and there's a big giant block where the Flash video would be. And I thought, ooh. So I know we have James Ward coming to ETE. He's
right.
A big Adobe evangelist, and I've been trying to nail him down, saying, "Tell me when Flash is coming to the iPhone." He is not talking. So
no.
When or if. So you know, maybe we'll pick on him a little more and beg him. But basically, what they're saying is HTML5 gives you a lot of the interactive media support that you would normally get from a Flash or something else as well. So it's Google, I guess the Rewrite Web writer here discussed with Patrick Chanazon, I'm going to say that wrong, some of the advantage of doing work in HTML5. And also, one of the biggest ones is you don't have to wait for Apple to get around to approving your app because it's just HTML5.
Right. Yeah, I thought I saw, I was looking for it now, but I can't find it. If I find it, I'll tag it on the Delicious. But I thought I saw a article on Wired where Steve Jobs basically came out and pretty much, you know, said HTML5 is the way to go, and yeah, and we're not waiting around for Adobe or whatever.
So. It's a shame because I don't know what the deal is between the two vendors, but, you know, if Flash is that resource intensive, I don't know that it is because everything else, I mean, playing video can't be unresource intensive on a
right.
1 gigahertz machine. I could play a Flash video on a little netbook.
Right.
And that's the only thing I can do at that point in time, but
yeah.
Isn't that what you do with web pages anyway?
Yeah, again, I wish I could find this article, but
yeah, I hear you.
Steve basically seemed to claim, in his words, that it was pretty buggy and that there was a lot of problems with Flash, which is the reason why they wouldn't support it. So anyway, so we'll
if
see.
If Steve told you to jump off a bridge, would you?
Well, if I were a fanboy, maybe, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going to get my chair and knock out the window here.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, that's the news for this week. I think we got everything, right?
I think so.
Okay. You can follow us both online. Brent Baxter is at brentbaxter.com. Do you have a Twitter? You're Twittering?
I do. And it's also Brent Baxter.
See? At Brent Baxter.
I keep it simple. Word.
You do. And I'm rimple.com because all rimples come through Ken. and at Ken at K Rimple on Twitter. And also follow the Cherry TechCast at techcast.cherrysolutions.com. And we'll see you next week. Again, you want to see the articles we're linking to here? Go to delicious.com/developernews/3. I'm Ken Rimple.
And I'm Brent Baxter.
Have a good week.